I'm Kristen Marchand, and this is the Opiongo Line. We've been listening to an all-candidates meeting held in Barry's Bay at the Royal Canadian Legion, Branch 406, on Sunday, September 25th. Time now to hear the second hour, when each of the 12 candidates respond to questions selected by Michelle Levine, publisher of the Valley Gazette, the local weekly in the township of Madawaska Valley, and the sponsor of this public meeting.
Okay, we're going to keep going so that the candidates have an opportunity to answer some questions here before the time runs out on us. For those, if you want a coffee or whatever, it's at the back, okay? If you don't mind, we'll do that. So, like I said, how it's going to work is actually Leonard's going to come up here and he's going to ask you a question, but we're going to pull somebody's name from the can here, a little tin can, and the person's name, the candidate, they will start off, okay? And then I think the way we'll do it is we'll come to the left of that candidate. Everybody gets to answer the same question. So we'll come to the left, and then we'll go over to the end of the table and come back this way here until we get to the original candidate. And once we pull their name, their name will come out of the can, and we'll ask another person, so we'll switch it up just to make a variety and switch everything up so not everybody's talking in the same order, all right? And they get two minutes to answer the question. All right, I'll give it a floor to Leonard.
Hi, everyone. Can everyone hear me? No problem? Okay. So I'll be asking the questions that were submitted to the Valley Gazette, and we have a name for the first candidate is Joseph Olszewski. So Joseph, question number one is, please prioritize the core services the township provides as to the level of their importance to you if elected.
Alrighty, so core services, priority. Sorry. How's this? Alrighty. So core services the township provides to its ratepayers. There's multiple core services, everything from the municipal building, such as a library, which is spoken of. And as far as prioritizing them goes, we have a municipal staff who's supposed to maintain our roads. And this past winter, I was out working in a friend of mine, Donnie Atmansky's garage, and we were out on the Opiongo line. And it was a real bad snowstorm. There was 8 inches of snow on the road that day. And there was no way you'd ever get out of there if you didn't have a four-wheel drive half done. So as far as I'm concerned, we need to prioritize our own staff, like the services we provide. Our municipal staff could be doing more to help the community. And there'll be a lot of people who'd say that, oh, you shouldn't plow the road right away because it's going to keep on snowing. You'll have to plow it four times. Yes, I understand that. That's a cost principle. But at the same instance, it's also important to realize that if it's your mother or your father or your brother who's hurt or having a heart attack on that road, and it could be the difference of an ambulance getting there in 5 minutes or not, that is also something that has to be. So I think as far as it goes, our municipal staff would be the priority, in my opinion, and using our assets, which we pay for, efficiently and effectively. Secondly would be all the community resources such as libraries and arenas. Those ones should be used because those are important to a community, as in it's essential to draw in new development to the community. Those services are essential to draw in new development to the community. Nobody wants to move here if there isn't an arena or if there isn't a library, etc., etc., etc. And that's my opinion on that question. Thank you very much.
I believe that the core services that you're asking about involves things like fire, safety, including police, roads, and I would certainly, so they would define the core services as I know them. And I certainly think we need to put our emphasis, if we want to prioritize, I think we need to do it. And certainly looking at our safety, I think should be number one, which, as I say, includes fire, and police services. Okay, want me to repeat?
No.
Okay.
All right, and there are definitely all essential core services and so on. I definitely have, out in my neck of the woods and stuff like that, the country roads need to be definitely in good shape. But I mean, the roads also on streets here in Barry's Bay, I would say that would be a priority. The arena, yes, we must have an arena. It attracts people. It's something for people to do here, recreation, and also kind of be a hub for our community. For Barry's Bay residents, the water and sewer is very, very, very important. And then, of course, like Councillor Popinski said, fire and policing. So there you go.
I think that we're all on the same page here for our own personal safety and the roads, of course. Two things that I find should be a priority is our water. I find that the water here is extremely expensive. It's, we're paying three times what I paid back in. The water bills that we get here. So for me, that's a priority. The other thing is our landfill and garbage and our disposal. The fact that we're paying $2 a bag is just, I go down to the landfill, as everybody does. I think it could be modernized, probably. I know that there's a possibility of it running out of space. I think that that's something that we should be looking at as well.
Thank you. Well, people have really addressed what the major concerns are, such as roads, water, sewage, infrastructure, which is a really important one. And as I mentioned, we have completed our infrastructure review. Snow and sidewalks, we're always working on. Fire, obviously, is important. But there's also another element. We have to emphasize and look after the things that make us a community. And those are things such as recreation. And one that hasn't been mentioned is planning. Planning is so important. We have growth happening now, but we have to protect our environment. Our environment is our number one asset here. And so that, to me, is a really important core feature that we have to protect and look after. So thank you.
Okay, Roger, you're up.
So, a lot of good things have actually been brought to the table already. Certainly our infrastructure is really important. No different than maintaining and caring of our own homes. It has to be all that infrastructure when it comes to roads, water, wastewater, has to be maintained properly, and the budgets need to be set aside for that. Other core services would apply to our arts and recreations and the support of the artist community. The lifeblood of a community is arts and services, the healthy, vibrant community, and we need to do more in the way of core services for that group. And then the final one, of course, would be in reference to our aging population and the independent living that most people would love to have within their own homes, but rather than being moved away. So we need to provide core services that are associated with our aging population. Thank you.
I'm going to try this side. There we go. Because I don't have papers over here. So it's pretty much been said. I don't know if I personally could put them in a priority order right now. I think it all depends on the needs of the community. And I don't have access to that information right now. But as a councillor, if I get a council seat, I will make sure I will take all information from all groups that are focused on what their priorities are. And I will make sure that we spend our money on the most needed services at this time. Other than the ones that are already spoken about, I think public transportation should be a service that we need to have in our communities. We need to connect our communities by cheap, affordable public transportation. But safety, the garbage collections, fire and ambulance services, they're all key components. And like I said, they've all been said. So community and recreation is huge as well. So that's a core service that we need to expand on and use our facilities all day. They need to open first thing in the morning and close at night. And all age groups and abilities should be able to get together. The cafe should be open. You could meet old people, young people, and have a safe, welcoming place for community members that have been here for generations and newcomers coming in, so that we can all get to know each other, because we all have so many assets and valuable gifts and talents that we could share. And the more our community knows those gifts and talents that we all have, the better chance we have of growing our community. Thank you.
Regardless of how we categorize our plans and that, we have to be smart about it. We have to be smart about what we plan and what we budget for. SMART is an acronym for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound planning, regardless of what it is. I believe in the fire and policing. I believe in the roads. I believe in the infrastructure. I believe in facilities. I believe in better bylaws. I also believe in waste management, water and sewage. I believe in also supporting the staff that work for all the municipality. It is not an easy job. They must be treated with respect. They are qualified and they are professionals. And they are a big asset.
Core services. It's a fairly easy thing to say, but if we are legislated to take our money, your money, my money, and spend it on core services first. That's priority. It's law. It's part of our policy at the township that these are the items that are going to be our money is going to be spent on. Operations, very, very expensive. That's our roads. That's almost number one. Waste management, very, very expensive to run these massive legislative dumps and look for new ones as they fill up, and ours are filling up fairly quickly now. Policing, almost $1 million a year for policing. That's another core service that we have to support. We don't have a choice. Building and maintenance or infrastructure, as we've brought up here, that's also a core service to maintain our home, which is our buildings, and there's 18 of them in the township that I know of, and that's an awful lot of buildings to maintain. And then there's waste and wastewater. That's also a core service. Now, what are we eliminating here? Recreation, tourism, and economic development is not a core service, as defined by the Municipal Act, by the people in Queen's Park. We don't have to spend money on those items. That's the problem. I have been advocating for 10 years that we put recreation, tourism, and economic development as a core service of our township. They're fighting about it at Queen's Park. They're bringing it up continuously to try and get the core service adopted, that the municipalities have to spend money on economic development because that's what keeps our town alive. So I'll be working on this again, as I do every year. I try and promote this at Roma. Whatever conferences I go to, I demand that we spend money. We have to. So thank you very much.
Mr. Baromich started along the way I wanted to speak about, but there's obviously things we have to do and we cannot choose. So prioritizing core services is not really the question for me. It's more how do we spend that little extra that is left, and how do we find efficiencies while providing those core services. So to answer that question, I would like to say that I would like to focus on finding efficiencies, because in every budget, especially in every corporation that's larger, there's efficiencies to be found. And second of all, how do we as council make sure that the little money that is left is spent well? So as I mentioned before, library, that stuff that brings the community together, I would like to make that more efficient for me to look up every day and say, okay, today is Thursday, there's a lunch break between 12 and 1. Like, whoever thought a library should have lunch breaks? Like, it should be open from morning till evening for everybody to access. And same, I do agree with Mr. Bromwich that economic development, because in the end, the municipality cannot pay for everything, but business internally can pay for a lot, right? It's just a round spinning. Two businesses come together, a third one develops. And the more we have people in this community, the more we have volunteers, the more we have, you know, just economic development in here, the more we get out of it, more than this municipality can do by themselves. And I know how it works on both sides, so looking at the municipality and from within the municipality, so I'm sensitive to, you know, what to promise, what to not promise, to make sure that I manage, that we manage. In terms of efficiency core services, definitely having six-hour council meetings is not efficient, especially in the evening. People's brains don't work at 10 p.m., so how can we make that efficient? Staff don't work those times, which means they get time in lieu in other times or get paid overtime, whatever, however it works here. We can make that more efficient to make sure that that staff is spending that time on other things better. So I'm sure there's those little things that can help, and then others that we can actually make work. Thank you.
I'm not going to pretend that I know everything about municipal politics, but I can promise that I will work on your behalf and find solutions to a problem that you're facing. Because I know that the people of this Madawaska Valley work hard for their patients. So, and for example, I know for a fact the council is working hard on developing. They have so many people they have on staff. How are you going to clear everybody's role at the same time? How many people are we going to hire? Some roles are going to be later, some won't, but they will get to you. They only have so many people. We can spend all the tax money we want on improving our roads, but what's going to happen? Taxes are going to go up. We have to deal with what we have. And the solution is that everybody here work together. You're the people in Madawaska. Guide the councils, guide the people, what your concerns are, what you need. But remember, we have a core here. And our community can only handle so much improvements. So many people, so many buildings, so many houses. We're going to explode. If we build a Mississauga here, how is Barry's Bay going to handle the traffic? We're going to take all the stores out? We can't. So we have to be realistic. Everybody's promising all these things, but nobody understands. Where is it going to come from? We need to be simplified. We need to understand. We need to keep our heritage. We need to keep the beauty and work to our inner core. And that's with all your help. We know.
Well, last is boring. Everybody else has said it all already. So core services, number one is roads, and I'll tell you why, because if you don't have roads, you're not going anywhere. So that has to happen first. We've got roads, we've got waste management, we've got the fire department, Carl mentioned policing, and he is right, it's $1 million a year bill, more or less. In and out, we have no say over that. And I'm glad that question came up, because if we want to talk about core services, let's talk about our existing infrastructure. The township of Madawaska Valley has a total infrastructure portfolio of over $100 million. That's what your tax dollars have to pay to fund, maintain, replace. Roads alone, over 220 kilometers of roadway. And that doesn't include the sidewalks and all of the lighting infrastructure and everything else. So back to what I was first talking about having reasonable and manageable expectations. This is some of the stuff that I think needs to be communicated from the municipal level so that people understand the financial realities of the township. And efficiency is key. Efficiency is key. I agree, everywhere you can find a dollar to save and still maintain that service, it's very important. I think it's very important for members of council. We need to look at certain programs. We need to look at the way things are operating, be able to adjust. Maybe something's working, maybe something isn't, and we have to have proper planning for that. So those are the keys. Recreation is fundamentally important. I'm running the Cumberbatch Recreation Committee, so it's very rewarding. It's very, very important. But to, you know, we have core things like the arena. The arena loses $150,000 a year. That operates at a deficit. It is an extremely well-used facility. I mean, there's times where the ice time is sold out. It's just the reality of cost. That's the reality, and we choose that to pay for it because it is a very important facility. And I hate the bell, Robin. I hate the bell.
Shelley Micah. Another question that was submitted. Please specifically explain how your career and background qualify you as mayor or councillor, providing some specific examples of relevant experience.
Well, obviously, I have 2 terms of prior experience in this township under my belt, so don't need to talk about that. My business professional background, going back to what I did in the staffing industry, I mean, it's a people business. You have to be able to interview people. You have to have a pretty good gut instinct. You have to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff, and you have to make in partnership with your clients. You have to make good placements and placements that are going to last, particularly in permanent staffing. We charge the client 20% annual salary, 20% of 1 year's annual salary. So some of those salaries were $100,000, that's $20,000 that they're paying for our services. So you want to make sure that works out and it's a good fit and it stays, because if not, then you have to replace that position for free. So that's one. My more directed towards this level here at home is all of the experience I've had with various people speak in the local radio station. So I've dealt with a vast number of local businesses throughout Renfrew County on all levels, whether that was small owner-operated, whether those were the car dealerships in Pembroke, whether those were retail businesses, larger and smaller. So there's a lot of coordination. There's a lot of money management. There's a lot of being able to listen and deal with people and target what they're saying down to a solution. So I feel that I can bring that and read through the lines, because, you know, people complain and there is a lot of things. But if you listen and you can wade through some of that, maybe there is a solution in there that the township can play. And I think honesty. Honesty is key. It's always been the key. You've got to be honest.
Just asking a question for Joseph again. Please specifically explain how your career and background qualify you as mayor or councillor, providing some specific examples of relevant experience.
Thank you very much for asking the question again there. I just wanted to make sure I had it clear before I started. So as most of you know in the room, I'm a businessman. I own a construction company in the municipality. I employ approximately 12 employees. It depends, some full-time, some part-time. And at the end of the day, I feel that I'm qualified to be a councillor of a municipality, because the municipality is a business, and it would be recognized as the biggest corporation in the municipality. No other corporation in the municipality would have the budget and have the money and have the ability to spend such money and invest such money in developments or recreation. It's a business. So I feel that I'd be best fit because I'm a businessman. Who do you want looking after a business other than a businessman? And I lost my at the end of the day, it's a corporation. I know how to run a corporation, obviously, and that's what I can say. Thank you very much.
So the question is, what do I bring to the table? Well, I've got four elected terms on council, as I mentioned in my earlier talk. My first two terms on council was, I joined a council that some of them had been there for 15 years. Everybody would remember, or most people would remember, Adolf McCoskey. Served under him as the CAO at the time. People like Nick Lubinsky had been there for 15 years as a mayor. So I learned how to do things in the proper way. And as we walk into the last 4 years, or 7 years, 8 years, we've been through a lot of challenges, because in 2015, our council took over a situation where the complete lack of trust had gone between the public and the council. It's well recorded. Just go back to the papers of the day. We were able to go about line by line, look at the expenditures, and come up with a plan. It wasn't easy. Come up with a plan which saves some taxes. We got an increase of 30-some% over the previous 4 years. And we looked at the programs being offered. We looked at all these expenditures. There's only so many dollars that come in. And as I mentioned in my previous speaking, we only get to keep 42 cents of every tax dollar. So to do all the things that's mentioned in the core services, then you realize that there's other, you have to be pretty smart about it. And I was very fortunate, after I finished my grade 12, I went back, and before I got into the real working world, I went back and took a one-year business course. Thank you.
All right, once you know that my municipal experience speaks for itself, mayor, county council, and also one term here as a councillor. Speaking of business, I know where Joseph is coming from. I know when I moved back here, I did work for some contractors and so on, but one thing my wife and I, and I have to include my wife because she is a big part of it, we created our own business. We created our own jobs. We started rock on drywall, paint wallpaper store we had in Barry's Bay. We started Rainbow Rafts, and then eventually, once it was established, we sold it to Emile Bouchard in Cumberland. And right now we're operating a golf website called Two Guys to Golf. I'm one of the guys, but I'm kind of a silent partner. But my wife basically runs it. But we created our own jobs, our own work here. And that's one way you can do it. And I'd like to encourage anybody that wants to get into business for sure, that you can make a living, a very good living here. And then, of course, my community involvement. Volunteers, that's what drives this community. So I'm just going to close it off here. Like I mentioned before, I'm going to bring my life, my business, and municipal experience to the table. Thank you.
So I'll repeat the question again. Please specifically explain how your career and background qualify you as mayor or councillor, providing some specific examples of relevant experience.
Thank you. So, I've run a corporation for the last 30 years, but the driving force behind a corporation is, of course, to make money. And the township is not just about making money, it's a community. So I feel that while I do have a business background, I know about budgeting and income expense sheets, I'm also a very strong volunteer. I've been volunteering since I was in my early 20s. Once my kids went to school, I was one of those moms teaching kids to read, helping out, raising money for gym equipment. I've always done a lot of community-minded events. I've been a Rotarian for the last 15 years. I believe that my background with business, coupled with my strong sense of community and my belief in volunteer work, giving back, is what will make me a good candidate for council.
Thank you. As I stated before, I have 26 years of municipal council experience, and 24 years were in Armpar the last, or 22 years in Armpar the last 4 years here. During that time, I've chaired every major committee of council, including economic development, finance, recreation, human resources, etc. I've also had 30 years of employment with municipalities, working on the other side of the table with councils. So I totally understand what it's like to be an employee who has to deal with councils. Sometimes it can be quite intimidating, but it's very important that council develops a good relationship with their staff. The staff are what get things done, not the council. Council gives direction. We rely on our staff, and you need a good relationship to get it done. I also spent 2 years, and this was good experience, because as mayor, you are a county council representative. And I spent 2 years, quite a while ago, when I was in Armpar, as the member of the County Economic Development Committee. And it was an interesting committee. John Yakubuski was on that committee, as was Bill Schwig. And we accomplished a lot in those 2 years. But the big thing was it gave me familiarity with how the town or the county works. And that's something you need moving forward. I have the experience, I have the passion, I have the desire and the energy. I think it's the right time for me to be your next mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. We're looking for relevant experience that we can bring forward to the leadership role that's required within this township. My background includes more than 35 years of leadership and executive positions and director positions in a number of multinational companies. In addition to that, I've had many years of experience as chair on a number of well-known organizations such as George Brown College, Durham Hospice, and in addition to that level of experience, some of the teams that I've managed were more than 100 people, delivering more than $500 million worth of services into the Canadian marketplace. I've dealt with all 444 municipalities in providing solutions and services through those municipalities. Most of the bridge construction that you see within this province is one of the last projects that I had within my business career, and that was taking a solution through to the ministry to be able to govern the engineering reports that allowed them to prioritize what takes place with those 14,000 bridge structures across the province of Ontario. That is some of the skill set and experience that I've enjoyed through my business career, and I know that it can make a substantial difference here within the township, and I look forward to serving you as your next mayor.
So my background, I've had over almost 40 years in the child development education field. My career with the youth and young children was for the social, emotional, and behavioral difficulties. From that, there was always the triangle between me as a member of staff, the child or youth, and the parents or family. That led me into mediation and life coaching, because there's always a conflict. And where there's conflict, it needs to be resolved peacefully and amicably as best possible. So my background and my career was then evolved and was built into reducing conflict in communities. That led me to be a founding board member of Community Conflict Resolution Services at Halton and a volunteer mediator for 10 years with that organization. The mediation piece with a community organization was neighbor-to-neighbor disputes. Sometimes it's, you know, a swampy pool and you're getting nasty smells. Sometimes it's the youth that live next door that are having parties at 1, 2, 3 in the morning on a Wednesday night. Sometimes it's fences that get built or broken, trees that overgrow. And we need, as a community, to resolve our conflict peacefully and amicably. So that's the strength that I believe I can bring to this team. And we're not, it's not vote for me. That's not what I'm here for. What I'm here for is build a team. You have a responsibility to pick the strengths of four councillors and one mayor. So together, five people represent the team. So you don't look at what I'm going to do and look at me. It's look how I fit in with the piece of this person and this person and this person. And that's where I come from with the negotiation and mediation of building community.
I have difficulty talking about myself, but I'll give it a shot. For over 50 years, I participated, volunteered, worked in community recreation, sporting organizations, social clubs, church clubs, played on and coached many local sport teams and many of the children that live in this municipality. Through my work experience for 41 years as the activities director at long-term care, which is not just seniors, it is long-term care for those that need it. You can be 18 years of age and over and need to live in a place like Valley Manor. My experience and my effective work as a member of council for 6.5 years. And that was in the 1980s. So if you think back to the 1980s, I fought for a new fire truck and other necessary firefighting equipment. And I think he finally got rid of that machine this past year. Yeah. Worked with many different agencies to get a new waste disposal site. And that was a long process. And now that is ready to go. Helped Roads Department get its first new backhoe loader. We used to rent one. Okay. Developed the plan for water park areas, which is being done now, okay? I have innovative planning and development recognized by government agencies. I have had successful grant applications in parks and recreation and in the healthcare field. And the healthcare field is something that is very important here. We need so much more than what we have. So let's work together to get it done. We also have in our municipality many people with many talents, and we need to get you all together to work together. And that's what I have been doing all my life. My work life, my play life, my common life. But my husband also runs a small business, so I'm quite sure I know what the dollars and cents mean, and common sense is the best denominator.
Thank you. I'm presently chair of operations and waste management, and I feel that when I sit on a committee, I bring a lot of life lessons with me, and I can qualify some of the decisions I make by experiences I've had in that particular field. In operations, of course, we have a massive amount of trucks, 18 of them, I believe it is, and the drivers. I was a truck driver for a total of about 5 years over the road. Tractor chair, so I know what the fellows are going through when they're out at 4 o'clock in the morning, plowing your roads or breaking down, going without sleep, getting up at 3 a.m. to go to work. So I kind of relate to those chaps, and that helps with your decision making. As far as events go, I was an event planner for the JCs back in my other life in Oakville, and I know how it is to set up a large event, small events, so I can understand as chair of recreation and economic development, which I was in my last issue in council, I understood what was involved and what all the work and effort has to be put in by staff, so decision making there again was fairly easy. Financially, I'm on the finance committee along with every other councillor. I've had accounts receivable experience for over 3 years in Duracell, and I know what it means to collect money that's overdue and what we have to do to keep our taxes under control as far as back taxes go. And we have a really great team, I must say, in finance that collects our taxes. We don't have to worry too much about a massive buildup. In the health region, it's kind of funny. I worked my first 3 years when I was in high school in a hospital setting in the kitchen and cleaning the hall 7 days a week, 14 years old until I was 17. So I know my way around a hospital. My mother was a nurse for 32 years, so health-wise, I know that area too. Thank you.
I already gave you my resume when it comes to my education and my community planning experience for 20 years, so I will focus on my skills because it's really the skills that we can offer. So I have prepared tenders. I have partaken in tendering on the other side, so I have actually answered tenders, which is a very kind of important skill when you have to deal with a lot of legalities at the municipality, right? It's very tedious to sit and make sure that you account for all the things that you have to account for as a council or as a staff at the municipalities. I have had very high profile jobs in my job in Europe for 7 years. I was dealing at a very national level and a local level as a director of a municipal office. So I know how to deal with those pressures of being in a visible role. But I was also down in the weeds when I was helping, for example, in my volunteer job, the Christmas fundraiser where we actually had to put together and give Christmas presents to poor families, and going out and really going out to the poor families really kind of shows you the other side. Because I think that the way we sit here, we are still very, very fortunate to have as much as we have, and to sit here and argue we should raise our taxes by 0.05% or not is not really what the big picture question is here, right? It's, in the end, if you pay $12 a year more or not, does that really make or break your budget? Probably not. The other skill that I bring, and unfortunately it had to be that way, is being a single mother, but that's where you really learn how to cut your pennies and really make sure that you pay your not only your bills, but you advance. So how do you pay off your debt? How do you manage your kids and provide a better future for the kids? And, it was a good experience that I can definitely bring back to council in terms of like seeing. And in terms of working, I was working as a project manager for a construction company, and being in the design and construction business in my other jobs as well, I definitely know how that side is run, and that's a lot of what the municipality is about. Thank you.
I'll go back to the alley. As a young boy growing up, I've always been a leader. I've been in the air cadets, left as a flight surgeon in the air cadets, so I left the militia, left the corporal, opened up a construction company, had 50 people working for me in Mississauga. I had three restaurants. Two in Mississauga, one in Toronto. I had one in Stardust, Jibbiot's Club, in Canada All-Stars Country and Western. We employed, I would say, about 150 people. So we built three restaurants at the same time. The crowds were Friday, Saturdays, we had discotheque going, and food in the daytime. Thousands of people showing up at the door. That's what was very cool. The other restaurant had 350 people sit outdoor patio. And we had a golf range behind us, which we ran to for people to go golfing. And held 350 people upstairs, 150 people downstairs. The other bar was a Jimmy's Club. It looked like a castle. All Polish people. And that was about 250 people nightly and daily, or 400. So I had a lot of experience in businesses. And ran a lot of people, and employed a lot of checks for people, doormen, and just a lot of managed. I had my ups and downs, like any other person. I learned by my mistakes, I've made some bad decisions, some in the wrong time in the economy, but I bounced back as a leader.
Okay, if you bear with us, we're going to ask one more question because we want to give these people the opportunity to give their best foot forward so you know what's going on, okay? And before I forget, because I probably will forget, there is a meet and greet, I believe, at the Opiongo Seniors on October the 4th, am I correct?
Yes.
And what time is that?
Seven o'clock?
Yeah. Okay, so you have an opportunity to meet the candidates one-on-one and ask some questions, okay? So I think to speed this one up, because we're getting close there, what we'll do is when we pull a name, we'll have the candidates start, one person come up to this microphone, whoever they might be, and the other person stand ready at the other microphone. That way there we'll save all the time of up and down, because I'm sure a lot of you just want to go home and enjoy the rest of the day. All right, thanks very much. Okay, so we're gonna start off with Mark Wilmer. So I guess Mark will start, and then we'll go down that way. All right.
Okay. Here's the question. What do you see as the biggest fiscal challenges going forward facing the township?
Thank you, Leonard. Just want to say, first of all, we're a very financially well managed township. But like everyone else, we're facing global issues. The global economy is very uncertain right now, and I think that will be our biggest challenge over the next 3 or 4 years. We haven't experienced inflation rates like we're going to or starting to experience or will experience since the 1980s. And that's where we're really going to have to work on things, because we can't afford to increase taxes. We have costs that are going up all the time, but we're going to have to find ways on council to try to keep our services and costs down to a level without cutting much and trying to be trying to make sure we just do the best. I think we're going to have a difficult time. I think this term of council will not be easy, and I think people with experience are the best people to deal with this matter. Thank you.
So inflation obviously has taken off, and the cost of goods are going to increase, so I think that's going to be our biggest challenge going forward. I think that we need people on council who are used to working with a limited budget. My years as a single mom has certainly given me that opportunity to be careful with spending, to watch the dollars and cents. I think that that's pretty much what we really have to worry about in the coming years, actually, is inflation and our costs. Thank you.
Yes, the word inflation, this is what we're going to face in the future. A lot of our contracts on what may be road or infrastructure repairs or whatever, we've been lucky in the last few years where we would get companies bidding in and competing very, very hard to get the better price for us, and we have won a few times. But now with the inflation of material and fuel and all this, this is something that is definitely going to be one of our big concerns. So with the experience that we have on council right at this moment, I see no problem. Thank you very much.
I agree with the comments regarding the inflation. I think that's going to be what we're all experiencing right now. And I think it's to the point the interest rates are going to rise, and we don't really know what's going to happen across the globe in terms of the whole food supply chain. It's something we need to be cognizant of. I believe that the downloading of more costs onto the townships, we have to be very smart about it, because right now, as I indicated in my previous speaking, that we get to keep 42 cents of every tax dollar. And so the challenges are many. I just spoke with the ministry at the Solicitor General's office on Friday regarding the new police boards. This is something that's coming at us, and I expect in the next few months it's going to mean more cost. We need more members, and they are the ones appointing some of the members, so we don't even get to appoint them in our own community. There's a cost which is yet to be established, and one, of course, is one which you have to take into account. So it's not going to be just one thing. I think it's going to be a lot of things. It's just the world that we live in today. Okay, thank you.
As far as fiscal responsibility or fiscal issues and challenges that we're going to face in our future, everybody else who has spoke so far sitting at the table has brought up good points. Inflation is important and the cost of goods is also important. But the problem is at a municipal level, the only way we can combat that is by ensuring taxes don't increase and possibly lowering taxes. We can't change the rate of inflation at this level, and I believe everybody knows that. We can try to help overcome it. So my answer to this question would be, Barry's Bay was water and sewer was built, a lot of it was installed in the 60s, and the 60s is notorious for a bad run of pipe, and these water main breaks are costing $10,000 a pop to repair them in the winter time, and I think that's something that should be budgeted for and a challenge that the municipality is going to see in the future. Thank you.
We're all saying inflation, I think we all know that. Everybody's shopping, we know that. We know prices are going up. And it is going to be a challenge. And we do have development coming. But when you apply for a severance, you apply for a subdivision, it can take years before you realize those new tax dollars coming in. So again, it's about managing expectations of the community. It is about budgeting. It is about efficiency. And applying that money to core services. It is about maintaining roads. It is about maintaining our buildings. It is about maintaining what we currently have. We are not in a position over the course of the next 4 years to even have a conversation about building a new $15 million pool or a new municipal office or a new this or a new that. It's just completely unreasonable. And I think it is the job of council and staff to be honest with the community. You can have wonderful things, but we cannot afford it because the people in this community cannot sustain and afford further tax increases. Period. End of story. So we have to do the best with what we have and manage them efficiently. And everybody knows I was always the cheapie on council. I was always fighting for if we could save a dollar, we save a dollar, and that's where I stand with the whole issue.
Oh, that's a tough one. Inflation, we're all dealing with it. We're all suffering with the prices, gas prices, our prices, our taxes, our improvements, what we can improve on. What's the solution? What can we do? How are we going to help each other? How is the council going to find ways? They can't. It's impossible because we got to get rid of the higher power up there. They're the ones causing all this problem. We've got to get rid of Biden. We've got to get rid of, you know, who else. That's where the problem lays. It's not what we can do. We can't do any, our provincial government, only so much we can do. So what we have to do is find a way ourselves. We have to manage ourselves. We have to figure out how to support what we are living to our benefits now. Because we can't promise you that we can change all your lives, because we can't. All we can do is try to better them, try to help you as much as we can, try to help ourselves as much as they can. But the way it starts, voting for the right people. You start voting for the wrong people, it's already been proven fact. So it's up to you to decide, up to the people everywhere to decide who they're voting for, because that's where it all starts, and that's why we have this problem. And we have to get together and do the right thing. And we'll try to help as much as we can with everyone. We just cannot change the situations that we have no control over. I can promise you we could, but we can't. That's what I have to say.
Thank
so yes, all the previous candidates mentioned what the problem might be. So what do we actually do about it, right? In a year or two, if all goes well, and the previous council had a great time, as they said, managing the money, so all went well, and they can manage it well again. But what if really things happen, and what do we do? The answer is we have to prioritize. That's really what is each one of us going to do when we don't have the money again. I would also like to mention another thing. A lot of the things that I've seen over 20 years with what the municipalities have to deal with is a lot of legislation that's coming down on us. You will probably agree. More laws, more regulations, and policies is coming down that the cities have to come up with a policy for this. In the end, it all costs money. The more we just spend time writing and implementing and making sure that we have so much documentation, it just costs more staff money, right? So how do we prioritize when we don't have enough money, when the prices outrace our budgets? We have to provide core services. So in the end, it's like, where do we save, right? Do we cut off all the arts, recreation, and so on? Or do we actually manage our expectations, start cutting down? And that's what happens in your own lives, right? When you don't have the money to pay for things, you actually look at it and say, okay, so maybe this year vacation isn't going to be as glamorous. And I wish the vacation was the only problem. What if you have to start saying, wow, I have to get a roommate, right? Can you imagine? When you actually now have to sublet a room to make to make payments on your mortgage. I hope we don't get to that point where we have to make such decisions. But I'm here to say that I have the courage to make difficult choices when should that time come. And I have the experience to know, you know, what some of the consequences might be. And I might be wrong once or twice or three times because nobody's perfect, but I have the courage, I have the experience to deal with that thing should it come to life over the next council term. And I hope that we actually can start talking about solutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, fiscal responsibility. We have some foresight in council. The council I'm on at the present time. We have foresight. We're looking into the future. We know what's going on. We keep abreast of the interest rates, the inflation fears that we're going to be in, you know, recession coming. And we've made sure that most of our major capital projects that were going to cost us money in the future have been done or are being worked on right now, so that we don't have to spend an awful lot of money on these big capital projects in the next 2 or 3 years, and then we can keep our taxes at affordable rate. And that's what I'm trying to do, is keep it to the point where you don't get taxed out of your home. There's a lot of doom and gloom mentioned here, but on a bright note, our town is expanding, and we're gonna get a larger tax base. We already have a larger tax base. The larger tax base actually equalizes the extra costs of running a township. It's good for you, it's good for me, it's good for the township, and it's not going to stop. So I'm looking forward to a brighter future than most people do right now. With the way we're reading the news, I don't think I want to look at the TV too much lately, but all I can tell you is I think you're in good hands with us, and feel kind of confident that you're not going to suffer that much. Even in a recession, we're going to try to take care of you. Thank you.
We all know it's the cost of everything. In the 80s, it was no different than it is now. We had the same problems. We worked together, we got things done. And we will continue to get things done. The cost of everything is going crazy, yes, for sure. And going door to door, I hear you, I see you. I know what your feelings are. And I believe you. Because I'm in the same boat. It hasn't been easy. And it will not get any easier. However, I believe in you all. There's no band-aid solutions to anything. Absolutely not. We have to look at the cost of everything. And when you look at the cost of everything, because Valley Manor is a place that we need built. And the costs are increasing and increasing and increasing. It's time to build it. It's time to get it going. How much money do we have to fundraise for health care here? Far too much. There is, if you'll excuse me, no blank check. There is no blank check. But check the blank on the ballot. I'm there for you.
Okay, follow that. I'm B before blank and then on the ballot.
Okay, so fiscal challenges. It's all been said, so I'm not going to go over that, but I totally resonate and feel all of that too. There's issues with taxes. There's a lot of our community members, unfortunately, that are struggling to pay the taxes, and there is a deficit. We need to come up with creative ways to help these people to feel safe and secure in their homes, and to create like payment plans, whatever it is, as a council, to help people, these individuals, to clear these tax debts. Community and building things and paying for things in the community. We want sprinkler parks, we want skateboard parks, all these things. Let's look at what we have in our community, and I referenced it earlier with skills, talents, abilities. We have different lumber yards around that can provide wood. We have different carpenters and construction workers that can provide the labour. We have youth that want to get involved. Let's build our own playgrounds. Why do we need to go and spend $100,000 to an American company to build a playground that's all state-of-the-art? Not that I'm saying that this council has agreed to do that, but that's what we're looking at. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for playground equipment when we could build it ourselves. We could, and that's the community collaboration and problem solving, that we can work together. And that's where my strength is building community connections that way. Because we all know construction workers, there's either one in the family or a friend. And every time they drive by a house, it's like, I worked on that house. I worked on that house. They can look around and say, I worked on that playground, I worked on that park, I built that skateboard park. And we can do it in the community within ourselves and have that sense of pride within our community that we've created this with minimal amount of tax dollars and hopefully donated materials, donated time, and just that sense of pride in the community.
Things have been addressed here in terms of big fiscal challenges and balanced budgets. Balanced budgets really are critical and important. I'm going to give you an example of looking at things a little differently. What I haven't heard is a lot of optimism and positivism in terms of what we offer here in the Valley. And by that I simply mean that we have the opportunity to allow for additional growth with less restrictive options around that growth, whether it's in the way of new residents coming into the Valley, whether it's in regards to new businesses on a startup basis. An example that I have for you is when I started as a director with GE Capital, day one, I was given the assignment of reducing my headcount from 42 to 21. And in the course of that action, we were still left with the responsibility of delivering the revenue through to the top line. And what I can tell you with pride is that those other 21 individuals, I managed to secure them really critical roles within the organization, so we really didn't have to let anybody go. The more important thing is looking at in a positive framework. I know a family here that has been trying for 12 years to develop their property, and they've had it for 12 years, have been trying to develop it for 7 years, and that would be additional revenue that we could all benefit from without having to raise taxes. And in my door knocking, there are several examples that I could bring to you that many people have been hampered by the prospect of providing positive growth within the township. So we do have some opportunity. We should look from a positive standpoint. Optimism and growth and economic growth would be really critical to support a burgeoning tax base. Thank you.
Okay, that would conclude this part of the afternoon. I'm sure a few of the candidates will stick around for a little bit if you want to mingle with them. If you have a question you want to ask one-on-one, I'm sure they'll be here to help you. And so what I would like to do now is, on behalf of myself, not as the Valley Gazette, but on behalf of myself and the community, I would like to give these folks here another big hand for going up there. Thank you very much. I know it's not easy vying for a seat on council or for being the mayor, but I mean, somebody's got to do it, eh? I thought about it, but then my wife says, give your head a shake. Anyways, and I also, today, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, I asked the Legion if we could use the hall, and they said for sure. And I specifically said, you know, like, how much would it cost, okay, you know, being a businessman. But the Legion, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but they do, if it's for the community, they'll help you out, and they'll take a nice donation. So whatever you can afford or whatever, you know. And Mike was here today, and he's done a great job, and Heather's here, putting on the tea, the coffee. So I'd like to give them a big round of applause. To thank my assistants here today who basically encouraged me to put this on, and along with some other people in the community. And so Robin Lowry, thank you very much. Andy Boyd, thank you very much. Heather Picado, thank you very much. If I missed anybody, forgive me, please. Thank you very much, and I appreciate you coming out.
And so ends the second all candidates meeting for the upcoming election of a new mayor and four councillors in the township of Madawaska Valley. That municipal election will be held on Monday, October 24th of this year, and only time can tell who will come out on top. But we hope, if you're lucky enough to be a full-time or seasonal resident of the township, that you will get involved, learn about the township's pressing issues, and cast your ballot. It's the right thing to do. I'm Kristen Marchand, and for the producer of the Opianka Line, Barry Conway, we'd like to thank Michelle Levine and his staff at the Valley Gazette. Thanks also to Heather Poliquin, president of the Royal Canadian Legion, Branch 406, as well as thanks to the treasurer and chair of the Ways and Means Committee of the Legion here in Barry's Bay, Mike Poliquin, for helping to remind us all that democracy is a very fragile thing that we all need to promote and protect by getting involved. Good day, and God bless.